this mother.
Oh, thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. It's a Disney kind of day. Glad to see your smiling faces as we pass along the way. There's lots of fun and laughter here awaiting just for you. All you have to do is make a wish and watch your dream come true if you take my hand.
Ole! Ole! It's showtime!
You are listening to The Mini Minxes, the UK's newest Disney podcast. It's a mischievous way to start your week.
Disney girl power.
Hello, Disney podcast listeners, and welcome back to show number 2 of The Mini Minxes podcast. Hello, Kim.
Hi, Laura. Hi, everybody that's listening.
It's very good if you've listened to show 1, you've all come back to join us for show 2, Kim.
Oh, it's very good, especially seeing as I think I was stuck down a well, wasn't I, during that show?
There was some slight issues with the sound, yeah, but I think we've got all that sorted now, I think.
I'm hoping so.
I can hear you. I can hear me, so.
Yes, but can you hear the echo down the well, the well, the well, the well?
We got quite a good response, so other than the sound, we got quite a good response to the podcast, didn't we?
We did, which was really good. Thanks for all the positive comments and the suggestions that have come across. Seems like Disney Girl Power's quite a hit.
Yep, hashtag Disney Girl Power.
Yay.
So what have we got coming up on show 2 of the Mini Minxes?
You tell me, Laura, what have we got coming up?
Well, we have a special feature on 2 Disney movies, a review of The Muppets, and a preview of John Carter.
I was going to say, do you know what else we've got coming up, Laura?
I don't.
Shall I tell you?
Yay.
Oh, go on then. We have got the absolute lovely Nick Branch on, talking about all things Vinylmation.
Very interesting. He is rather lovely, Nick Branch, isn't he, Kim?
Yeah, we like Nick Branch, don't we, Laura?
Sorry, Lindsay, but we do. We like Nick Branch.
Yeah, Lindsay. Are you sharing, Lindsay?
Or swapping?
Oh, yeah, I'll do your swap. Oh, she's into swaps, isn't she, Lindsay? Lindsay, I'll swap you Aaron and Malcolm for Nick. That's a fair trade.
Or I'll swap you an animation 2 Vinylmation for Nick.
Oh. I hope she don't want to claw his eyes out now at Mouse Mates.
Or Malcolm claw my eyes out.
Oh, it's alright, I didn't listen, so I've not the foggiest idea what I've said. I'm safe.
So yeah, we've got Nick Branch on. He talked to us for a very, very long time, didn't he, Kim? Oh. And he told us all about Vinylmations for several hours.
I think it was several hours, bless him.
It was, yeah.
And it's my turn to edit this week, and it's like, I've got a 2.5 hour interview to edit down into 20 minutes. I don't know what bits to cut. We might have to have a Nick Part 2 interview in future.
Yeah, you might be on 2 podcasts.
Yeah, spread it over 2 podcasts.
And then after Nick, we've got our regular Ask Mini Minxes back again. And we've got, what sort of question have we got this week?
I don't know. Am I supposed to have checked? Have we actually got one? Oh no, we have got one, haven't we? Oh, lovely Michelle sent us some questions.
It's about what water parks you should visit. Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach.
Ah, so that'll be interesting.
It will, because there's some really good resort pools as well if you're not into the busy crowds at all these big main water parks.
But aren't you answering the question now and this is only intro?
I should just shut up, don't you now?
Yeah, you should really. Also, on this week's podcast, or this fortnight's podcast, we're going to announce the competition winner, because we had a competition, didn't we, Laura?
We did, and we've chosen a winner.
I have chosen a winner. Or should I say, I've randomly picked a winner.
Pick the winner out of the hat.
Yeah. I'm not saying who it is yet, though. I'm going to make them listen till end of show.
Yeah. Make everyone think of all the stuff we can buy. And then say, no, you didn't win. Keeping you hanging on till the very last minute.
You mean it's more like bullseye? See what you could have won.
That's a very Northern English show, Kim.
Well, I'm a very Northern English girl, Laura.
us people, we don't watch Bullseye.
Well, what do you watch up in Scotland?
We watch
Angry Beavers.
And Question Time.
Well, they're all
the Anti-Mar politics show.
They're all a bit educational for me then.
So will we get started with the show, Kim?
Here's some more fun, starring yours truly.
Talking films today, aren't we?
We are, yes. We've got a couple of films to talk yep. about today.
Lovely movies. We're talking about The Muppets.
Yay!
And John Carter. Two very, very different films.
You're not a fan of The Muppets, are you, Laura?
I like two of The Muppets, but not The Muppets per se. I like Bean,
yeah.
who I hear isn't even in The Muppets film. And I like Miss Piggy because she's like me.
You like Miss Piggy?
Yeah, I love Miss Piggy. She's pink.
Do you walk around going, hiya?
I didn't know that was the noise Miss Piggy made.
Oh my god, Laura.
I like the pictures of Miss Piggy. And I like the best clip where in Disney World, actually, where in Miss Piggy. Have you seen the Muppets thing in
I
Disney
have.
World? Where Miss Piggy's on the riverbank and Beans throwing stuff and tried to do the props. I like that.
And that's about as much Muppets as you've seen, haven't it, Laura?
I think so, yeah.
So you won't have seen the Muppets film, will you, Laura?
I haven't. I'm intending to see it, but we'll see after your lovely review whether I go or not.
Ah, yes, because listeners, I actually did go and watch the Muppet movie, unlike Laura. I went on Valentine's Day. It was Aaron's Valentine treat because he's a very big fan of the Muppets. In fact, I bought him loads of Muppet stuff. Muppet socks, Muppet underpants, Muppet t-shirts, Muppet DVDs.
Are you trying to tell him he is a Muppet?
I could be doing. Do you think he's getting it? Anyway, back to the review. Now, this Muppet film is the first Muppet film that's been out since, I think, Muppet's Treasure Island in 1996. And it was written by the very talented, well, it was joint written, should I say, by the very talented Jason Segel. I think that's how you say his name. He is also the star of one of the popular American sitcoms, How I Met Your Mother. I'm assuming you've not seen that.
I have.
You have? I believe also that this is the highest grossing Muppets film since the first ever one, I think. And it's also been nominated for an Oscar. Or, well, one of the songs, should I say, have been nominated for an Academy Award, not the actual film. And it's for the original song, Man or Muppet, which I'll just play a small clip of.
Am I a man? Or am I a Muppet?
Am I a Muppet?
If I'm a Muppet, well, I'm a very manly Muppet.
Very manly Muppet.
Am I a Muppet?
You always believe in other people. Sooner or later, you gotta believe in yourself.
If I'm a man, that makes me a Muppet of a man.
A Muppet of a man.
That's what growing up is, becoming who you want to be.
Here I go again, I'm always running out of time. I think I've made up my mind.
And I don't care what anybody says.
Now I understand who I am.
I believe in you.
I'm a man.
To that, Laura?
I liked it. It's not something I'd listen to on a daily basis, but I liked it.
Oh,
makes a bit of a change from the usual Oscar song nomination.
So on to the film then, I suppose. The film basically is about a young Muppet called Walter, and he is the world's biggest Muppet fan. And his brother, who's Gary, and he's played by Jason Segel, who we were talking about earlier, and his girlfriend, played by Amy Adams, who a lot of people might remember her from the Enchanted film.
Yeah.
they go to visit the Muppet Theatre, and then they find that it's not the all-singing, all-dancing Muppet Theatre that it used to be. It's a bit run down. Well, a bit run down. It's very run down. There's no Muppets there for Walter to see, and he overhears... I won't go too much into the plot in case you want to go see the film, but, you know, Walter overhears, you know, an evil, dastardly plan, and then he decides he wants to try and save the studios, and he drags his brother and his girlfriend in on the act and goes and finds the Muppets to help them raise $10 million to save the Muppet Theatre from a nasty Texan tycoon-type character who wants to drill for oil.
Aww.
I won't tell you what happens, because obviously you do want to go see the film.
I do. I'm quite liking the sound of this Muppet film, though.
It's a very good film. It's got, you know, quite a good all-star cast. It's got an awful lot of cameos in that I enjoyed spotting and giggled at. Some to name a few, it's got Whoopi Goldberg, Selena Gomez, David Grohl's in there. The very, very, very funny Neil Patrick Harris is in there.
Also from How I Met Your Mother.
Also from, I'm very impressed there, yep. Laura. Yes, he is also in How I Met Your Mother. Oh, and the absolute best cameo for me, and I was in absolute stitches, and I think everybody in the cinema thought I were a raving nutcase, was Jim Parsons, who was playing the human form of Walter. Now, for anyone who doesn't know who Jim Parsons is, I'm an extremely huge fan of The Big Bang Theory, and he plays Sheldon in that. And if you haven't watched that programme, Laura, or if anyone's listening, if you haven't watched The Big Bang Theory, I know it's not strictly Disney, but go watch it, because it's an absolute scream. It really is. It's such a funny programme. But yeah, I think the whole cinema thought I'd gone crazy because I were giggling with excitement when Jim Parsons came on the screen.
So I take it these cameos they're in as themselves, as real life. They're not voicing Muppets.
No, they were all themselves. They didn't necessarily play. Some of them played themselves, like Whoopi Goldberg and Selena and Neil. They played themselves. But like Jim Parsons, he played a character, but it was him, it wasn't his voice. And Dave Grohl, he played a character. I'm not sure if I'm saying his surname wrong, so any Foo Fighter fans out there, sorry if I'm saying it wrong. He played a character, he didn't play himself, but it was him, him as a person.
Take a trip to see the Muppets now.
I think you should do it. I mean, not for Muppet fans out there, there's an awful lot of nods to the old films and the old shows and the odd in-joke, where the big furry creature can't get in the car and he's having to walk behind the car again, and he's saying, oh, no, not again, because obviously that's a throwback to the first film. And then if you look really closely, there's a couple of pictures of Jim Henson on the wall. And it's a fantastic film. Jason Segel's really done a good job. I mean, obviously, I know it's not just him involved in the film. There were other people. But to me, I think it's revitalised the franchise, and They need to build on this. They need to stop, you know, getting other people's franchises, Avatar, and concentrate. All right, this wasn't their franchise to start off with, but they've bought it. They've invested in it. So
It's
almost become a Disney franchise, and they really do need to build up on this, I think. The only thing I will say is, for the mums that are listening, for really, really small children, and I have heard this said on a couple of podcasts, I don't know whether they'd enjoy it as much as maybe the older children will, just because they won't know who the Muppets are. There's a lot of talking, which a lot of smaller children in the cinema, I think they were getting a bit restless. They were sort of walking around and weren't really paying attention 100%. And I sat back and I thought, well, yeah, if you're a Muppet fan, you're going to love this film. You are absolutely going to love this film. If you've never seen the Muppets before, yeah, it is quite a good introduction to the Muppets, because it sort of briefs you in on all what's happened over the years. But for the smaller children, I do think it's not specifically aimed. It's not for them.
Not very visual. There's not many visual jokes in it.
No, I do think it did. I mean, maybe it did and I just didn't notice them. But no, to me, I just think for the younger children, it's not, you know, Disney Playhouse material. I think it would sort of, for me, ages 7 and up, I would say.
Yeah.
But I suppose every child's different. The music in it's amazing. I mean, it's got a lot of music in it, a lot of original music in it. Obviously, Man or a Muppet, which I've just played a clip of, that's been nominated for an award. It's got you'll like this, Laura. It's a duet between Kermit and Miss Piggy, The Rainbow Connection. That's a really good song. I think my favourite one in the whole film, though, has to be Life is a Happy Song.
Everything is great, everything is grand, I got the whole wide world in the palm of my hand. Everything is perfect, it's falling into place. I can't seem to wipe this smile off my face. Life smells like a rose,
with someone to paint,
with someone to pose. Life's a piece of cake, with someone to pedal,
someone to break.
Life is full of glee,
with someone to saw,
someone to see. Life's a happy song, when there's someone by my side to sing along. I've got everything that I need right in front of me. Nothing's stopping me, nothing that I can't be with you right here next to me.
Life's a piece of cake with someone to give
and someone to take.
Life's a piece of... Imagine singing that at Mouse Meets with Nick, maybe. Or maybe you, Laura.
No, thank you. I'll be gone by that time.
I think you'd enjoy the music, Laura. It's also got some remakes of songs, some covers of songs. We Built This City by The Starship.
Oh, okay. It's a good song.
Forget You, Camilla and the Chickens, Cluck to Forget You. It's got The Muppets Barbershop Quartet doing Smells Like Teen Spirit, which obviously was Nirvana. And then the absolute scream at the end of the film is, do you remember Mana Mana? Do, 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 do. It's got that at the end of the, for the credits, and it's got all obviously all the cast and all the people in the film sort of doing Manamana at the end as the credits are going down. So that was really good.
Good. And you were telling me about the lovely Jack Black being in the film.
Oh yeah, that was my absolute most favouritest part, is that because Jack Black was Animal's sort of sponsor to control his anger. You see him in the film telling Animal no drums, you know, because he was trying to control his anger and drums make him worse. And then they kidnap Jack Black because they need a celebrity to help with the Televon to raise the 10 million. So they kidnap Jack Black, and Jack is, I mean, I am a Jack Black fan, if I'm honest.
Oh, I am.
But he is quite funny in this film, and he plays his part really well. Obviously, Laura, you're going to rush out and go see it now, aren't you?
I think I might, actually. You being sarcastic, but I think I might.
Yeah, so if you're new to The Muppets, definitely go watch it. If you're a fan of the old Muppet films, definitely go watch it, because you'll really enjoy it.
I think I will go and watch it, Kim.
Well, don't go now, Laura, because we've got the rest of the podcast to do.
Yeah.
So what film are you going to talk to me about, then?
Now, it's a boys film. It's definitely not one I'm going to be rushing out to see. It's John Carter.
Oh, I have heard of John Carter. Isn't it a rip-off of like Prince of Persia and stuff?
Well, apparently John Carter's the book John Carter's based on is what inspired Prince of Persia and Avatar and Star Wars and all these sort of films. So this is apparently based on the original science fiction war type film.
And what's it about, Laura?
It's about a man called John Carter.
Oh, you surprised me there, Laura. It's about a man called John Carter.
And he's played by Taylor Kitsch. Now, you might know Taylor Kitsch from stuff such as Snakes on a Plane or X-Men Origins.
All right, yeah. Can't say I've seen any of them, but go on.
He's been in all those sorts of films, and he plays John Carter. Now, John Carter finds himself surprisingly, inexplicably transported to Mars.
As you do.
Yep. And when he's on Mars, he gets involved in all sorts of battles and conflicts to save the planet from bad people and to save it from collapsing. And so he ends up being the man who has to save the people of Mars, save the planet, and battle all the weird alien people. He battles all the alien people to put a girl's explanation on it.
Well, I must admit, the trailers that I've watched and the stuff that I've seen, it doesn't... I mean, I am a Disney fan and I will probably go watch it, but it hasn't made me want to rush to the cinema to watch it, if I'm honest. I mean, it's had a lot of positive reviews and, you know, before it's come out, and a lot of, you know, positive comments for it. Didn't you say we'd got some audio from the film, Laura?
We do, so I can play a little clip. So this is a clip from one of the battle scenes, which looks very, very good. So here's the audio from there.
One horse! toss those shot.
Pursue them to the Aeolian plane, then overtake them and capture the Red Woman alive. The one who jumps? Let's see what he's capable of.
Now, I must say, visually, the battle scenes, they do look, you know, epic. And they do look very good in terms of cinematography. The film does look brilliant. It's the story that kind of puts me off a bit. It's for boys.
Is it filmed in 3D, is it, Laura?
It is. It's coming out in 3D, yeah.
So that might be good. I mean, Avatar was good. I mean, I don't want to keep going back to Avatar, but it does remind me so much of Avatar. There's even a scene in the trailer, I don't know if anyone's seen it, where I think John Carter stabs a creature and this creature's blue blood splatters him and he just does look like a blue thing from Avatar.
Yeah, it does have a lot of Avatar-type qualities to it.
Which then, that kind of makes me wonder why, when they knew this film was coming out, have they jumped on Avatar all of a sudden?
Yeah, but then I've got a little feature yet to play for you, and if you listen to that, it is, they do admit that the novel by Edgar Rice Burroughs that this John Carter film is based on, it is supposed to have been the inspiration for Avatar. I suppose there is going to be some similarities there.
Okay, let's listen to that clip now.
Let them be crushed.
This story is so huge.
But as big as this is, it's truly a character-driven story.
Where am I?
It's all about a human finding himself on Mars among these amazing creatures and finding that he had his own unique powers.
Did I not tell you he could jump?
It's originally written by Edgar Rice Burroughs, titled A Princess of Mars. It's been pulled from many other projects, books to comic books to movies.
John Carter had to be there in order for Star Wars to happen, or Avatar to happen.
Anything from a flying city to an airship is all from John Carter.
And I fell in love with the concept of this world. And I had always thought, wouldn't it be cool to see this realized on the screen?
All right, then, just play along. Visually, it's going to be incredible. We keep saying the Great White Ape scene is worth the price of admission alone.
Release the other one.
The audience is going to come out not just falling in love with these characters, but having had the ride of their life.
So, Laura, when's this film actually going to be released so I can go to the cinema and watch it?
You can go and watch it on the 9th of March.
Will we go watch it, Laura?
No.
Oh, Laura, you can't say
I don't think so. I don't even think I'll watch it on DVD.
Laura,
I won't buy any pins of it. I won't buy any vinyl versions of it.
You're very anti-John Carter, aren't you?
I'm very anti-boy stuff.
You're going to, like, alienate half of our five listeners.
And I should also just ask that it's got the bad guy on Mars, which in the film Mars is called Barsim, not Mars. And the kind of bad guy called Tarkas in the film is played by William Dafoe.
All right. I was going to ask if there was any other famous people in it.
Yeah, you'll know him. Well, I know him from Mr. Bean's Holiday. Have you seen Mr. Bean's Holiday?
No, I haven't seen Mr. Bean's Holiday.
Oh, well. He's in Mr. Bean's Holiday playing the French film director at Cannes.
I'm sure he's probably famous for more films.
A lot better things than that, yes. I think he's...
Wasn't he in stuff like Once Upon a Time in Mexico? And didn't he play the Green Goblin in Spider-Man? And...
I think so, yes. Yeah. But we all love a bit of Mr. Bean.
I think he probably wants to be known more for being, you know, the Green Goblin than Mr. Bean. What was he, Mr. Bean?
He played a French film director that Mr. Bean was editing.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably don't want to be. He probably don't want to remember he was in that film, to be honest. I mean, obviously, you're also forgetting, to be fair, Laura, to say that this is a Disney podcast, that William Dafoe was actually the voice actor of Gil in Finding Nemo.
Oh, okay.
You're supposed to be shocked that I knew that.
Have you got IMDb open in front of you, Kimmy?
No! I know that from my own Disney knowledge, Laura!
So are you going to go and see John Carter or take Anne to see John Carter?
I probably will, just because I am a Disney fan and I do collect Disney films. That is one of the things I collect, and I do like to say I've seen these films. And who knows, I might come on and give it a review if I can tie Laura down to a chair long enough to listen.
Well, I'll be excited to hear if there's anything in it for a girl like me who doesn't like boy things.
One day your heart feels like flying, your head feels like spinning, each happy ending's a brand new beginning. Let yourself begin chanting, you just might break through.
Hi listeners, Kimmy here. Before this week's interview with Nick Branch starts, we first want to apologise for the sound quality of this interview. This interview was recorded the week that I was using the headset from the well. Please be patient. We have tried our best to increase the quality of this interview for your enjoyment.
Well everyone, we are proud to continue our regularly scheduled show.
Joining me and Kimmy today is Nick Branch, one of Kimmy's fellow Disney Great Idol finalists. Hello, Nick.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're good.
Hi, Nick.
How are you, Kimmy?
Two of the finalists and I'm the odd one out.
Hi, the fact that you even went in for it, I think you should be pleased with that. We can't all be winners. And yet, we are supposed to lose. But we're winners to ourselves.
Yes.
That's what counts.
Exactly what
so Nick, you're famously a huge Venomation collector amongst the community. We've all seen your shelves.
Like a Venomation god.
He is.
I mean the thing is, I think it's more our collection. I can't purely put it down to me. I think I've got bitten by the Venomation bug at the same time. So it's probably about a 60-40 split in the collection, with the 60 being Lindsay's and the 40 being mine. But we're both terrible at kind of like doing a collection. Like every time we're like, oh, we need to slow down, we need to kind of, you know, you can't. There's something else that takes you on, you're like, ah, it's
addictive because I collect them as well.
Oh, excellent.
And I've never completed a set yet. Well, apart from the Bakery series, which is only 6, I've not completed a set yet, because I just keep seeing different things from different ones that I want, so I just buy randomly.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm like Laura, I buy randomly as well. I've got about 25, which Nick will probably snigger, because that's just a day's buying session for
Nick. That was the first of all my animations, I think it was 13, so...
Oh, well, it's just a...
No, don't joke. No way
that you've got that, mate. But no, I do just buy from random ones that I'm like. I haven't got a complete series as yet myself.
I mean, the thing is, there's only a few series that we've got that are completed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really comes down to the costs more than anything else.
Yeah.
But although they're not extremely expensive, when you're looking at buying... you know, when you've got like 12 to a series, then, you know, you're not just going to buy a series out. You know, if you're buying them as the blind boxes that you would be, you won't just buy 12 blind boxes and get a complete set.
No.
So you end up, I'll buy another one just in case that's the one I need. Oh, it's not, okay, well, I'll struggle with somebody at some point, and then, I'm going into town again. Oh, maybe I can get another one, just in case, you know.
Yeah.
And it gets very much like that, especially now that you can buy them so easily in the UK. Well, most of them you can buy in the UK nowadays. But I mean, when we first started, I'll start at the beginning.
How did you first actually come across Venomation, you and Lindsay? Then how did you find out about them? When did you see your first one that you had to buy?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question.
Doing my job right then.
Exactly. So we after we got married in 2009, and after we got married, we weren't going to go on our proper honeymoon until a year after, because we couldn't afford it at the time. We wanted to save up, make sure we did Florida properly. So we thought, well, rather than, you know, if we're not going to go on our honeymoon officially until next year, we'll take a few days to Disneyland Paris. So that's what we did, even though that's, you know, when you compare it to the cost of a Florida holiday, probably isn't that much different, but anyway. And when we was out there, there was one shop in the village that had Funimation. Never heard of them, never seen them. And they had, it was the second park series at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't remember seeing any of the small ones, but they had a few of the 9 inches. And I quite liked, I mean, even now, I'm a big kid, so I still buy myself toys from time to time to go on my shelving units. And final kind of based products is has interested me before by other companies, so I could see where Disney got the idea from with Funimation. But the fact that it was Mickey Shades and it was to do with Disney, and I like Disney, meant that it was a lot more of interest to me than a lot of those kind of products. And I kind of ummed and ahed, and thought, I think it was 40 euros for the first one that I was born. And he said, oh, do you want it for Christmas? I was like, I don't know, it seems like a lot. And anyway, that Christmas, I got one, which was called Crossroads, and right around now. And then after that, I kind of looked on eBay and saw whichever ones are out, and that one looks quite nice. So I picked up one, quite cheap from America. And then you look at the ones that they were releasing, and then they pick up a few on eBay. But that wasn't really it. We only had like a handful, much less than 25 that we've got now, when we first started. But fortunately, that was just before we went to Orlando for our actual honeymoon the next year. And I think we left the UK with about 5 Funimations, if that, by that point. And we probably came home with about 10, but that's when it started. That is literally when it started. By the time we got home, it was, oh, we need that suit, we need that one, we need that. And that was it. And it just kind of exploded.
It's addictive.
Mm.
I'm addicted to it.
Yeah. And it's so much worse when you're in a Disney park.
Especially with D Street and dedicated shops like that.
That's it. I mean, the thing is, when we was on our honeymoon, I think it was like the week before we, like our last week there, was when they released Part 5. So it was the first time we was there when a series had been released.
Yeah.
And then they kind of go a bit mad for it, you know, they look in the window, and, you know, this is the series, and they're like, wow, that's good. You know, you just bought some, and it's like, oh, I'm the ones I want to do some trading. And that's the other thing, because trading is so ripe around there. You know, most jobs you can actually be Funimations. And so even then, you just go, oh, you know what, I haven't got anything I want to trade at the moment, but I'll buy another one.
Just to trade,
yeah. it's mental. So, that's where it really started. When it comes to like the series and stuff like that, I think, you know, if it's something you're really interested in, like, I love the Muppets.
I love the Muppets too.
And everyone should love the Muppets, so, you know, I'm glad to hear that. But,
do you want to know something, Nick? Laura doesn't like the Muppets.
What?
I was waiting for that, Kimmy.
No, thank you for your time.
I like Dean.
It's okay, I mean, I'll have to learn to live that there are some people that don't.
Not only does she not know Kevin Smith is, she doesn't like Muppets.
I like Bean, and I like Miss Piggy, that's it.
What?
Alice in Wonderland's my thing.
Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah, that's the set I'm going to complete.
Well, I've got a little story about that, I'll come to it in a second, but the Muppets was a set I had to have.
Uh-huh.
So I bought the Muppets, and I managed to get it off an eBay seller in France for what I thought was quite a reasonable price, not much more than 12 individual blind boxes would have cost me. So I thought, well, you know, it's worthwhile because, you know, I've got 12 then, which I wouldn't have now, it's just all in one quick succession.
Yeah.
And Star Wars was the other one. I'm a big Star Wars fan, so I've got the complete series of that as well. Boat chases. And obviously, like,
I've been a bit of a glut there, wasn't there?
Yeah. Again, I managed to get that at almost cost price. I was really lucky.
Yeah.
To get, you know, especially with the Ghost A1, which even now goes for ridiculous money on eBay. So that's quite a lot of pride in my collection. But I don't think it's always necessary to have to buy the series.
Uh-huh.
We tend to buy now, especially with like the Park series. I love the Park series because it's things that remind me of the Park.
Same here, yeah.
No. But there'll be certain finals that come out which are attractions that I never saw or don't really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't necessarily want those figures in the series. And I'm glad I can justify myself like that because it means that I don't always have to spend a fortune on me because I don't have to buy it all 12.
Yeah.
It does make it a little bit easier. But no, I mean, I understand your passion with Alice in Wonderland. It's probably not one of Linton's favourite Disney films. And we happened to be in Disneyland Paris the day they came out.
Lucky you.
The thing was, it was actually due out 2 weeks later.
Oh, so they put it out early? Oh, okay.
And then, yeah, they released them early.
Oh.
And the whole time we was there, we kept looking just in case it came out. And we were going to the same shop earlier that day, and they didn't have them. And we went back in there later on, and she, I thought she was going to punch me because she thought I was winding her up. And it was only when she looked, and she was like, "Oh my god!" And it literally, like, just been put on the shelf, like no box been taken or anything like that. And she just picked up the complete tray of 24 boxes, took it to the till, and said, "I'll have that, please." And I was like, "Well, how many of them?" She went, all of them. And luckily they brought us out a box, a sealed box, even though that one hadn't been touched, but it's out of the back anyway. And that was the first case that we bought of Mynormation. And mainly because she was such a big fan, she needed to get the whole set. And, you know, the only way of guaranteeing you get yourself the chase as well is by buying the whole case.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to ask you. I might be interrupting the story, so if I am, just...
No.
What is... This is where I'm a bit of a novice. You get chasers, you get variants, you get toppers. Yeah. What is the difference between all three of them? Because I personally don't know.
Okay. Well, the easiest way of talking about this is a topper. They only tend to do them on the Park series or the Urban series. And all it means is that they do like a limited run with, they call a combo topper, which means it's a Mynormation that sits in a clear box on top of a blind box. So essentially you're buying two vinyls, except that one of them, you don't know what it is.
Okay.
And you buy a Mynormation. And it costs the same as buying, or about the same as buying two Mynormations anyway.
Uh-huh.
So that's all it is. It just means that they do a limited run of an extra figure. So it's not officially part of that series, but it's an addition. And with the Park series, it's always a Mickey Mouse dressed in an outfit of some kind.
So they don't do it every series, they just do it for the Urban series and the Park series?
Yes. They did do one. Oh no, sorry, I'll add to that. They had also done it for the Animation series.
Alright.
The Animation series, the Villain series they didn't do it for. They did one for the first series of Animation that, when the new series of Animation just came out in America, again they did one. But we don't ever see them in the UK. They tend to sometimes go online, but always in the parks. So if you go to D Street, they will have combo tools. It's just a limited run thing, so it's just a nice bonus if you can get one. And if you're going to buy it a blind box anyway, then it's just a nice way of getting an extra figure as well.
A bit of a sweetener, really.
What's that, sorry?
A bit of a sweetener, really.
Yeah, exactly. buy an extra box if nothing else, because you know, a lot of vinyl Ovation collectors will buy Central America, like buy cases.
Yeah.
So it just means that even people who don't buy a case, they will just get one extra or two extra boxes out for buying a combo top one to make sure they've got everything. So that's a combo top one. A variant is a figure that's a variant of one that's already in the series.
Right.
So, not every series has them. There have been some series that don't have any variants at all, and others that have two or even three, which is slightly annoying for the person that wants to complete. like I said before, Star Wars had, they referred to it at the time as a Super Chaser, but I think really it's a variant because it was a see-through version of the Chaser. So, the regular Chaser was only one claim, as all the other figures were, like a solid painted figure, and the Super variant was of the same Obi-Wan Kenobi, but on a clear blue vinyl.
Yeah, and then Alice, you've got a pink and a green hedgehog.
Exactly.
With the variants, the pink hedgehog, I believe.
Yeah, and I've also got another, which is the most... I mean, sometimes you can argue that the variants are quite pointless. That Alice in Wonderland, the hedgehog, I think is actually one of the better variants.
Yeah.
Because it is true to the film.
Mm-hmm.
And there were the two different colour hedgehogs that were used in the game of croquet. But there's another variant in that set, which is of the Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
The only difference is that his feet, instead of being solid green like his shoes are green and white, where it's supposed to be his striped socks. Because in one scene in the film, when the Queen shouts, his shoes fly, and you see his socks. And it's the most pointless variant I've ever seen. And yet, that figure will go for 10 times the cost of, his normal, everyday version of the Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
So that's the only downside of it, is that because it's now such a collector thing, it means that those ones that are, a little bit harder to find, can go for ridiculous money. But everyone can only chase that I was talking about, even now, and the set's been out for a long time, will still go for upwards of $300.
Really? That much?
Yeah.
A lot,
I think I'm a proud owner of a variant, but I don't think it's a very rare variant.
Okay.
I think I've got the real boy from the animation one series?
Yes, that is a variant. I think that's a good variant because, it's an important part of the story. Real boy. I think that's how these things kind of differ as well. The animation series was quite well produced, so it meant that there was a lot more available variants than some of the other series. And that's probably why it's not held in the same esteem as things like Obi-Wan Kenobi, because those were only available at theme parks.
Right.
And animation was available in stores as well. It just meant that obviously a lot more were produced.
So you're telling me I'm not going to get rich off my Pinocchio variant then?
You'll get good money for it, but you're probably looking more about the $60-$70 mark rather than the hundreds.
So not to retire off
at Pinocchio,
but...
Unfortunately, no.
Maybe in 10 years, Kev.
But, and finally, the actual chaser, most sets of Vinylmations, most blind box of Vinylmations come in sets of 11.
Right.
Especially 12, but they'll come in sets of 11, with one being a chaser. And you can buy a case of Vinylmations, you'll get 24 blind boxes. And every case of Vinylmation will have two complete sets of 11, but only one chaser. So that's why, you've got, when you buy a blind box, you've got a 1 in 24 chance of getting a chaser, whilst you've probably got a 1 in 12 chance of getting any one of the series. So although it doesn't, it sounds like it's still not that hard to find, depending on how the release of the vinyls has gone. They can still be quite hard to find. You know, with the parks, especially where they're only available in the theme parks, they're often quite a lot harder to find than, you know, your animation chase or something like that. But, I mean, all chases are worth money. So they are something to kind of look out for, and if you get one, you know, it's good news.
I know that when I bought, we went to Florida in December, and there's so many special animations there that we went to the Christmas party and things like that, that I only decided to buy one Alice because I knew they were selling them back home. And the first one I picked out was Dinah the Chaser, so I was quite happy with that one.
There's no better feeling, I think, than when you do that. I mean, this is a lovely memory of our honeymoon. Lindsay really wanted, I think it was out, the first Kingston series, when that was out, there was one of the three fairies.
Yeah.
She really wanted it. And we didn't like many of the other figures in the series, but that one was one that she particularly wanted. So we bought a few blind boxes, and you know, very joyful. I would mix with the trade. And then it was coming up towards the end of the holiday, and it was in D Street. And she went, "I'm going to buy one more box." I went, "All right, well, just, you know, go and, you know, have a think which one you want, and, you know, you never know what your luck's going to be." And it wasn't a chase, just a regular figure, but we just couldn't get one for whatever reason. And the guy at the till said, "Oh, you're going to open it?" She said, yeah. So she did, and she opened it, and it was the three fairies. And
aww.
She screamed. She jumped up and down and screamed. And the people in the shop did not know what the hell was going on. They couldn't work out what was going on. And all it was she got the vibration that she wanted. You know, the guy was like, you know, "I love it when I see that happen." Because, you know, it's the excitement of getting something like that you really want. So, you know, that's one nice thing about blind boxing, though it can be incredibly frustrating. That time when you do pull, like your Dinah or something like that, which you really want, whether it's worth a lot of money or not, is just a great feeling. I think that's probably one of the things that keeps people coming back.
I must admit, I think for adults as well, it's that shot back to your childhood, isn't it, when you used to collect stickers for albums,
yes.
You used to collect football cards and things.
Panini stickers and stuff, yeah.
It's that same feeling. You need to collect them all, and then you rip open the silver wrapper, and to see the one that you've wanted for ages to be inside that silver wrapper, you just get that same buzz that you used to do when you were a child.
I mean, I suppose in that respect, I mean, going back to, you know, when you asked what the difference was between a bearing or and a chase with a combo topper, you know, if you're looking at them like stickers, then a chaser or a bearing is a shiny.
Yeah.
You know, those special silver or like holographic stickers that you used to get every once in a while.
Mm.
I suppose it's the equivalent of one of those.
I've never thought of it like that before.
No, I hadn't before either, but you just talking about it, I thought, yeah, that's going back to when I used to get stickers, that was always what you wanted. Oh, I don't need shiny ones. Oh, okay. Oh, there is! And, you know, that kind of excitement, oh, I've got the shiny one, and I'll be able to sort out the loads of stuff that I want.
So, and the trading rules the same, like, because if you was to get a shiny, you used to have to trade, like, 5 to 10 stickers for this one shiny with someone in. If I wanted to, like, have one of your chasers, do I have to give you, like, more normal ones to get your chaser or variant, or is there no rules like that, or is it just dependent on the person?
I think there are. I mean, I think, you know, if you, you know, we've got some, because of doing this, we've got some very close friends that, also buy vinyl nations, and we've got a set of friends who've got an even better collection than us. Like, it truly is amazing. And they're now on the Vinyl Nation UK Facebook page, so, and they put some pictures up of their place, and it is amazing. It's like going into a Disney museum. It's fantastic. So I think if you've got like close friends, that you'd be able to do a much better deal than if it was like somebody on eBay or on one of the forums. It all depends. I mean, we were quite lucky in was a set of they were called romantic treats.
Japanese, yeah.
Just check out. And Lindsay and a couple of our friends on the UK page bought some from a seller in Japan. And the chaser in that set was based around Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's least favourite. Or favourite is bear. Persuasion, I think you know where I lie.
The money spinning bear, as I like to call it.
What did you say?
The money spinning bear, as I like to call it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But Lindsay got three boxes, and she wanted Donald and Daisy, because they're her favourite Disney characters, and wasn't really too fussed about the others so much. And she got Donald, so she was happy, and she got a Stitch, which I was happy about, even though it doesn't really look like it, obviously, but it was Stitch, that was enough. But the last one she had was this Duffy Chaser. And because it's a Japanese exclusive set, it's really hard, extremely hard to get, because so few people outside of Japan get that series. And she said, well, don't really want it. And to complete her Alice in Wonderland, Lindsay even needed the Mad Hatter with the socks or the Pink Hedgehog. And I said to her, well, you know, if you look on eBay, they go for about the same kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can find something that would be willing to swap it with you. And she was able to find something that was willing to swap the Pink Hedgehog for the Duffy Bakery Chaser. So that was it. It was done. And we now have the Pink Hedgehog. So we've got absolutely almost complete collection of Alice in Wonderland minors.
I'm jealous.
But the Pink Hedgehog was brilliant. And out of the two, that was the one she really wanted. So, and, you know, that was done because it was deemed by people as a straight swap because they were both as rare as each other, pretty much.
Yeah.
And on eBay would go for about the same kind of price. So, and both parties were happy. And I think at the end of the day, no matter what the, whether it's if somebody wants a 2 for a chase or a 4 for a chase or whatever they want, I think as long as, you know, both parties are happy,
yeah,
then it's a little bit irrelevant as to what the outcome is.
Like with pins, then you get like scrappers. Is there such a thing as scrappers in the Vinylmation world?
Yes, there are, and it took a while for people to kind of pluck on that was happening. You just all of a sudden started to get a lot more auctions on eBay from Hong Kong.
Really cheap ones, yeah.
So accessories, or didn't look quite right, or hadn't even come out. That was the other thing. Some of them hadn't even officially been released. You thought, well, how are these being sold? And obviously, people were buying these things from eBay. And when they arrived, they noticed that they were either scratched or they were missing accessories or something like that. And you know, we then learned that people were actually, as they refer to scrapping or kind of dumpster diving, the American unit, where they were climbing into the bins outside the factories in China to produce the Vinylmations and selling like these subpar vinyls. I don't know how it's seen in the pink community, but I think the way that people in the Vinylmation community look at it is that if you're happy and you pay a reasonable price, it's not too bad, then, you know, what harm's caused. But I think the general consensus is, you know, it's not good to encourage these, because obviously the more these kind of sell on eBay, then the more people are going to try and do the same thing, and then you're never sure whether what you're buying is legit or not.
Yeah, I think I collect pins as well, and I don't know whether I'm right, but I think the definition of scrapper as pin traders is different from what it is with Vinylmations, because a lot of completely fake pins are made, whereas the scrappers, if I'm right, are genuine Vinylmations, they're just faulty ones. But with pins, you know, it'll be a factory who's just taken a mould and they've got nothing to do with Disney.
Yeah.
And they're just churning completely fake ones out.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference.
Yeah, because I didn't realise, because when we have some bits, we tend to buy the Disney Store exclusives when they get released over here, but we don't tend to, you know, Vinylmations enough. try and keep that to a minimum. But we've got a friend who collects both, that actually showed us some of her pins and said, and these are ones that she traded and got, we just converted to scrappers, and showed us on like how to spot what a fake one is compared to a real one.
Yeah.
By showing us like the back of the pin and a few other things. And I had no idea. It was interesting, really interesting to be able to know, because I, you know, somebody didn't tell me that there was something wrong with it, I would have no idea. But yet, as soon as someone points out, well, this isn't right, this is different here compared to this pin that is real, and then you're able to kind of, you know, look at them and go, you know, and actually see the differences yourself. So, it's interesting.
What grand total are you at now then? How many bird formations have you actually got?
Oh man, a rough estimate is probably nearer 200, and that includes 9 inches. I think the last time we counted, it was probably around about 140.
Oh, I want a collection as big as that.
But that, I mean, the thing is that doesn't, that would also, you know, we've got they do a series called Disney Afternoons. It was DuckTales, Tailspin, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, Duck, Disney Afternoons, which was the cartoons they showed after school. And those were done in, as two packs. Each cartoon had a two pack representing it. So, you know, in those ones, you got two figures opposed to one. So, you know, in counting those and the 9 inches and series and odds, things like that, then yeah, I'd say probably around about 170. Yeah, let's go with that.
It kind of makes my 30 look a bit, or 20, we're 25, I've got to add 5 to make it look a bit impressive.
You need to get by and work in.
I don't think at the end of the day, it's like anything, it's not like somebody having like a collection would have got everything. But, you know, and going back to what I said earlier about, or when you said about, you know, you haven't got a complete series yourself. I don't think you need to worry about that. I think as long as you've got the ones that you want, that to me is the most important part of it. I don't want to have, let's say, you know, finals of things that don't interest me or you know, no concern to me, or attractions that I was never able to visit because they're closed down. You know, unless, you know, or if I don't like the design of something, there's no point in having it. It's something that I can swap or try and trade or sell or whatever. But yeah, I don't think it matters the amount you've got, just the ones that you've got are ones that you want. I think my favourite is one I did for, and it has been my favourite for quite a while actually, it's one I did for a Park Series 6, and it's called Road Time.
Alright, yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah, and it's just the signage as you're driving into Disney World, which tells you where to turn for different parts of the Disney complex.
And it's properly coloured.
It's a real simple design.
Yeah.
There's nothing rare about it at all. You know, loads of them were made. It was part of the regular series. But it reminds me so much of being out there, but also my honeymoon, that it's always going to have a special place for me, so that's probably my favourite one.
What about your least favourite, or is there not such a thing as your least favourite one?
Oh yeah, that's why I don't have all of them. Probably have words after this show goes out, I'm going to listen to it, but I cannot stand Captain Hook that they've done in the villain series, and the reason for that, I mean, I think Captain Hook's great as a character, I love Peter Pan, but it is the most wasted use of a vinyl I've ever seen. They did a Pirates of the Caribbean set where they had pirates that had, you know, some of them had hooks and some of them their Mickey hand. Well, who, you know, his name's Captain Hook. He needs a hook for a hand. What they did instead was they drew on over the glove. Right, that was the first thing. What else is quite distinguishable about Captain Hook?
His beard,
that is on there. That's on there, so they've got that part right.
He's
got a big floppy pink hat, or lilac hat, whatever colour you want to call it.
Yeah.
He's got a big floppy hat. He's got nothing on his head. Why has he got nothing on his head? It's got his face, and in the back of the vinyl, it's just like purple. But it's not painted to look like anything. It's just painted to look like they need to put sake on the back of the vinyl's head. They haven't painted his hair or anything.
So it looks like an unfinished vinyl.
It does look like an unfinished vinyl, and I really hope one day they do release like a complete Captain Hook that actually looks the part. But at the moment, I'm just really disappointed with the one they got. And actually, that series, that whole Villains 2 series is probably my least, I hope that's your next question, my least favourite series, because instead of using, you know, some artists, when it comes to animation, use them really cleverly and get the best kind of ideas for designs out of them. But this series, it was just like, right, let's have a villain, and then what we'll do is we'll make the head and the body of the final the villain's face. And then we'll just do whatever with whatever space we've got left.
I must admit, they do look weird, don't they? I haven't seen pictures of them. I ain't got any of them, but I have seen pictures of them, and they do look rather weird.
There's a couple where they've done them properly, and they look fine. Huh? The ones where it just tends to be like the face of the villain, as the whole animation just look really lazy.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, because there's some really good characters in there. I mean, there's some in the set that are quite good, like there's a bowler hat guy, Nita Robinson's,
yep.
Which you know, is quite cool because you would expect to see one of him, and his one's done quite well. And there's the big bad wolf from City Symphonies,
yeah.
And he's got his hat, so therefore already what's a winner. But it's done in proportion, and it looks right. He's got his dungarees and everything, and it looks fine. But then you've got things like the Evil Queen, where it's just a black vinyl with her face in the middle of it,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the crown's top, like painted on top of like where the face should be, to paint the crown, and then nothing on the top of it. It's just screams of being lazy. So, that would be my worst final and my worst final series.
What do you think about the completely pointless ones like the Zip from the Urban, the Black Zip? Is that ones like that?
I have a love hate relationship with the Urban series because what's good about it, and I'm glad they have a series like it, is it gives people complete freedom to do something different that doesn't have to be necessarily Disney. And I think that's quite clever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you do get some designs, like you say, like that. Actually, I just remembered another one. Sorry, it's a big Disney grip. Another one I really hate is, again, from an Urban set. There's one of the... It's supposed to be like a Hell's Angel.
Oh, yeah.
Like a hairy biker, I suppose. And it's just... It's like the head is pink. And halfway down the head of the vinyl is a pair of sunglasses painted on. And then the rest of the front is just a beard, like a gingery brown beard.
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
The front vinyl, and then when you look at the back of the vinyl, you can see it's got trousers, but the front is just beard. And it's just like, it just looks so pointless. But, I mean, I think it's because they have that series, but I do tend to be very... picky when it comes to the Urban series, if I want any of them.
Yeah.
I never ever buy an Urban box, or try not to, because there's just so many that I wouldn't want to have.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it gave us, I mean, I've actually never seen it, but then one of the chasers in one of the Urban series was called 3D Mickey, and he was brilliant.
Oh, I have seen that one. That one's well cool.
Do you see what I mean? Like, so the thing is, although there's lots of badly designed vinyls in those series, you do get ones like that that are gold. Well, for me, you know, I'm a wrestling fan, as you know, as I believe you are as well, Kimmy. And they did a luchador in the first Urban series, and I think Urban series 8. And the one in the first series was almost like a luchador Mickey Mouse.
Oh yeah.
And it's fantastic. But you try and buy one, it'd be hard to press to find one. It'd be hard pressed to get one under $200 because it's now so rare and out of date. But also, and that's what's important with some of these things, is it's well designed. It doesn't matter necessarily how rare something is, if it doesn't look good, people still aren't going to go mad for it. But, like, you know, there's sometimes things designed in that way that you just think, yeah. And I look at it and I think, yeah, I really would just pretty much do anything to get that.
What do you think to the current treatment of Vinylmations in the UK, seeing as you're quite an important person in the Vinylmation community?
Have I mentioned how much I love you girls? And how much I love this show already? I'd love to think I was like that, but I was that cool, but I think I'm probably lying to myself to ever say that. And I'm obviously a big fan. I do try and speak to Disney in the UK whenever I do get a chance to, whether I'm in the store or even phone them up, trying to find out exactly what's going on. Unfortunately, the biggest issue seems to be is that nobody really seems to know what's going on. And that's not having a dig at Disney Store UK or anything like that. It just seems to be that things kind of happen and people are told certain things, but no one seems to really know for sure what's definite. You know, like Laura said, you know, you knew Alice in Wonderland was available in the UK. Now, when they announced that series and they announced it was going to be sold in Disney stores in general, you know, we phoned up the Disney store before I went to Paris and said, you know, obviously things are due to come out in Paris in November or whatever it was. Are we going to see them in the UK? I don't know. And this is phoning up Disney store customer service.
You should know.
They had no idea, yeah. And at Christmas time, Kidada designed, I think it's Kidada, designed Funimation. Peter Pan and Tinkerbell.
Yeah, the 9-inch.
Exactly, yeah, the company set. And Lindsay wanted it for Christmas, and my mum said, we're going to buy it for. And we went to buy it, and they had it there 1 second, and then we went to actually buy it that evening, and it had been sold out all of a sudden. And it was at a time when they had a sale on like 20% off all orders or something silly like that. So I thought, oh, they could have taken it off the website because of this sale that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I phoned up their customer service and said, right, we're trying to buy this. It's now showing us it's out of stock online. Do you know if you're getting any more? No. You've got no idea at all? No. You know, you must have some idea of what vinyls you're selling. If it's on the website, we've sell it. If we don't, we might do, we might not, I don't know. And it seemed to be that kind of response whenever I've spoken to somebody there. It's not that I don't ever feel it's because they can't be bothered or they don't want to give you the answer. It's just they literally do not know the answer. And when you're trying to build something up in that kind of fashion, I think it's important that, you know, they do know what they're dealing with. You know, and, you know, I did get the feeling before Christmas, is this, you know, is what going to happen with Funimation UK? Are they just going to phase it out because no one seems to know what to do with it? Or are they going to kind of push forward? The worst thing is, when Damien bought that Kidada from the US, and 2 days later, lo and behold, it shows up on the UK.
Back on the site, yep.
You know, like almost immediately after that offer had finished, it came up again, which is what I asked them. And they said, oh no, we definitely haven't got it, and we don't know if we're ever going to get any more in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he bought it. So it was quite annoying because obviously the shipping and stuff from America. And then this year, all of a sudden, we're getting series out at the same time as the US are. You know, they have released the Furry Friends, which is the ones about the Disney cats and dogs, and horse as well. And then Animation 2, which came out the same day as it did in America. Now, okay, that might be able to appease people because of the cut-up involved the Furry Friends,
yeah.
But they still did it and they didn't need to. So the fact that they had them already in that time shows that they must be trying to start taking quite seriously. And on top of that, you know, now both series have sold, well, Furry Friends obviously got pretty cool, but Animation 2 has now sold out.
Yeah.
And they're now trying to get more stocks. Now, that's only been on sale for about 3 weeks or so. So, you know, they're obviously are now realising that, you know what, if we get these products like about the same kind of time as they're coming out in America, we actually sell them. The problem they've always had before, or when they first started selling over here, is they'll get series in the stores that the US had 6 months to a year before.
No, the hardcore traders already bought these from
exactly.
The US.
So it means that anyone in the UK that wanted those finals, you know, Toy Story was a prime example. That came out in the summer of 2010. And last year when Disney decided to push Funimation again, that was one of the series they had. Well, I got all of mine the previous year. Now I want to buy Funimation, but I'm not going to buy things that I've already got there's quite a stuff. Right. If you've already got them, or you could book them on eBay, then there's no point. But, you know, with the animation series was one of those ones that we was going to just probably pick up some from America on eBay as and when we chose to.
Yeah.
But they came out at the same time in America. And so, instead of doing that, we went, well, there we are. Let's go and buy some. And that's what we did. We went down to This Is Story, bought some. And the day they came out in our nearest This Is Story that sells Funimation, they came out on a Friday. By Sunday, they were down to their last half a tray. They got pretty crazy.
So the market for them is out there, isn't it? Let's
Yeah. And what's even more amazing is people are buying these things when the Busy Stores in the UK aren't even pushing them.
No, not at all. It does help that all of them doesn't have them either. I know, from my point of view, I have a Disney store 20 minutes away from me, but because it's not one of the special spotlight stores, it doesn't sell them. So my nearest store that sells Vinylmation is in the Trafford Centre, so that's like a 40-minute drive, which I don't mind, but it's not something that you want to do all the time. So that prevents me from going there and spending more money than I probably would do if I could just go to the one that was 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
Our local store is 10 minutes away. Our nearest store is 10 minutes away. They don't sell Vinylmation. But we do have a store that's about 20, 25 minutes away, which does sell Vinylmation. One of the 7 or 8 bars. And only we're only about on the train to the centre of London. So, worst case scenario, we can do that. We can always like it. You know, so now we're reasonably lucky.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we can get this product out in a reasonable fashion at the same kind of time as they are coming out in America, then we can actually, like, sell these things. When we bought the Furry Friends, the day they came out, and we went with a friend, and we split the tray between us.
Yeah.
And they'd got them in that morning, 2 days before the official American release date. They'd released them over here. We bought a tray between the two of us. By the Sunday, they'd run out. They'd sold out all of their Furry Friends.
Yeah.
And I think that was either 3 or 4 trays that sold in that time period. That was in a day. And that was with no publicity. There was no... This was the flagship store. This was Oxford Street in London, supposedly the flagship store in the UK. There's no official Vinylmation section, there's no signs explaining what Vinylmation is or anything like that. They just literally get a box, whack it on a shelf, and hope it flies off. And it does. So you think that because it's actually doing quite well, they actually try and spend a bit more time actually educating people. Because if they're selling out like that with people not really knowing what they are, I mean, obviously, you get people like myself that do, but Joe Public that walks in there will pick up a box and go, what the hell's that?
What's inside it, yeah.
They won't know what it is. There's no signage saying, these are Vinylmations, this is what a Vinylmation looks like, this is what you're going to get in your box. You can swap this with your friends, you can swap this in the store with a trade box. It's nothing like that. So, you know, you either know what it is, or you learn to know what it is. It'd be nice if Disney stores in the UK try to educate people in that way, because they obviously are selling. The good news is for that, because they are selling, it means that there's more chance this kind of trend continuing. I still think that they've got a lot more they can actually be doing to fulfill its potential and make it an even bigger thing in the UK than it already is.
Well, I think that brings this interview to quite a good end. Me and Laura would definitely like to thank Nick for coming on and talking about Vinylmation.
Thank you, Nick.
No problem, it's been a pleasure.
We guys. Love you.
Yeah. Many weeks of love, Shizzy.
Many kisses.
Thank you. Yeah. I can certainly say that this After Dark, you know, on behalf of this After Dark, that the theme is definitely mutual. You know, as both of you starters, you know, thank you for not only having me, but also the show you've done so far, and wish you continued success in the future.
Oh,
same to you.
We'll keep an eye out for our invitation to go to this After Dark, shall we?
I'm sure it's incoming.
We can swear as well. We know how to swear.
Many minxes don't swear, Laura.
We can go beep.
And you can drink whiskey or whatever you like as well, so you know.
Mine's a Bailey's, Nick.
Oh, fine, I've got baby this one.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, and I'm sure we'll have you on again in the future, and I hope everybody's learned something. I know I certainly have.
I have, yeah.
So, we'll see you later, Nick.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Listen to the Mini Minxes every Friday night at 7 Eastern.
WTFC Radio.
All Disney music.
All day long.
WTFC.
Live365.com.
Stream live at DisneyTFC.squarespace.com.
Okay, we're into our final part of the show, it's Ask Mini Minxes, where we've got a question from one of our lovely listeners who want our advice. What's our question this week, Kimmy?
Well, we've had a lovely question from the lovely Michelle Tate Young, and her question is as follows. I'm able to go to one Disney water park for a few hours from opening. Which would you, Mini Minxes, recommend I visit? We like raft water rides, and we want to avoid areas with lots of children as we are travelling alone. Having been to Typhoon Lagoon, but only went in the wave pool due to the excessive afternoon queues, do I go back there or do I try out Blizzard Beach?
Blizzard Beach!
Typhoon Lagoon?
Blizzard Beach.
Typhoon Lagoon.
Blizzard Beach. Why, do you not like Blizzard Beach, Ken?
No, I don't like Blizzard Beach, Laura. We're not really doing Michelle much help here, are we? Just saying the two water park names after each other all the time.
Yeah. Why don't you like Blizzard Beach?
I found it very crowded. I found it very gary. Even if that's a word. I don't know if that's a word or not. I just found it...
In your face?
Yeah. Yeah, I just found it were a bit too busy, a bit too loud, and a bit too in your face. I couldn't relax there. Whereas at Typhoon Lagoon, I completely relaxed.
See, I've got the opposite view. What time of year did you go?
We went in October.
Right, see, we went in the height of summer, you know, bang on end of July, start of August. So maybe that had something to do with it. But I find Typhoon Lagoon so busy and so crowded, and I just couldn't relax at all. But like the nice, peaceful kind of snow theme of Blizzard Beach.
Maybe I'm not a ride person either, and I enjoyed the lazy river, and I enjoyed the wave pool of Typhoon Lagoon, and I liked, you know, the surrounding areas of Typhoon Lagoon. It just seemed a lot more not natural, because it's not natural to have a boat on top of a really high mountain, but do you know what I mean? It seemed less cartoony, maybe.
Yeah. I find Typhoon Lagoon so dangerous.
Dangerous?
Yeah. The wave pool, the power of the wave is so strong that it just knocks you off your feet. And you're not landing on a nice soft landing, you're landing on virtually sandpaper. I was bleeding in black and blue.
Well, I wasn't bleeding and I wasn't black and blue, but I will agree with you, that wave is pretty damn fierce. And the ground is quite uncomfortable. But that's part of the fun, Laura.
No, I just swept me off my feet every time I...
So, alright then, so why do you recommend Blizzard Beach then?
I think maybe it's different if you went at the time of year that you went when it's a bit colder, and I know that I'd probably have a different view if I went when I just came back in December there, but in the summer, the snow and the ice theme, it's kind of psychologically cooling, even though it's all made of plastic. It makes you feel cooler. It's a nice break from that intense heat. Whereas the sand in that of Typhoon Lagoon, there's not really any respite from the sun.
Do you not find, though, going back to Michelle's question, that more children go to Blizzard Beach than Typhoon Lagoon?
I don't know. Definitely the lazy river at Typhoon Lagoon in the height of summer was just packed full of kids. And these donut rings, just everywhere.
So yeah, there weren't many kids when I went. We're not really helping Michelle at all, really, are we?
No, it's Disney, and I think you're going to get kids. If it's the height of summer, I don't know when she's going, I don't think she said, but if it's the height of summer, I think you're going to have to expect a lot of kids in both of them.
She's wanting to go in the morning, because looking at the question, she's put wanting to go to the Disney water park for a few hours from opening. See, again, I'd be more inclined to say Typhoon Lagoon and go completely against what you say, Laura, because I don't think kids will be up at that time, and again, I don't think it's going to be that busy. Whereas I think Blizzard Beach, I think families tend to go there more. And then,
yeah, I suppose with the crocodile theme and everything, that Blizzard Beach may be more themed towards children and families, yeah.
I mean, she's wanting raft rides as well. What is there any raft rides at Blizzard Beach?
I didn't do all of the things, but there's donut rides, and as far as I'm aware, that is the kind of equivalent of a raft ride. So it is like a donut, a bit like Typhoon Lagoon, but they're kind of high-speed thrill-type attractions rather than relaxing.
Well, I know at Typhoon Lagoon there's the Gangplank Falls, which is a family-sized raft ride, but if there's only two of them, they will have to go down the raft with two sort of strangers, but I'm sure Michelle wouldn't mind that because she's quite a outgoing, friendly girl. So that's a raft ride.
And of course, if she is genuinely just wanting somewhere relaxing, you know, early morning, there's, you know, I don't know if she's staying on site, but there's lots of brilliant resort pools as well. So it isn't just a choice between Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon.
No, good suggestion that. I don't know where she's staying, but I suppose, yeah, if she's staying on a resort, they could always check out the resort pool, and the resorts have slides, and not obviously not to the extent of the water parks, but that's an option for her.
I know Saratoga Springs, where we stay usually, for instance, you know, there's three pools there,
yeah,
with different rides and, you know, sort of water spray games and stuff like that, so there's plenty of stuff to do.
But I mean, don't forget though, Typhoon Lagoon has got Crush and Gusher.
Yes, but it's very fast, is it not?
Now, I don't like fast rides, but I quite enjoyed Crusher and Gusher. And you can do that in twos, because I went on with Aaron.
So you can hold someone's hand to keep them company.
Well, it's more like hold their feet, but...
Okay.
And then, obviously, there's the Shark Reef as well, which, I suppose, is the poor man's version of Discovery Cove if you can't afford them extortionate Discovery Cove rates.
Yeah.
So hopefully somewhere along there in that lot, Michelle, there's some sort of advice. It's a bit hard because we've both completely disagreed with each other, but if you like me best, you'll go to Typhoon Lagoon, and if you like Laura best, you'll go to Blizzard Beach.
Yes, but I think the fact that you're going early morning, Michelle, gives you a better chance of whichever one you choose it being a bit quieter than
if she goes in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So that's the question for this week. If any of our listeners have got any other questions they want to pose.
Easier questions too. Some nice easy questions.
What sort of question do you want, Laura? What's the capital letter of Disney? We're supposed to be giving these poor people advice. We're supposed to be fairy godmothers.
We are fairy godmothers.
Stop asking for easier questions then. Ignore Laura, everybody. If you want to send extremely hard questions, please send your questions to our email address, which is contact@theminiminxes.co.uk.
Yeah. And Kimmy will answer them all for you.
This podcast is sponsored by Team Disney Podcast. The Disney community has a voice, and you can hear it on Team Disney. Please listen at thebestmagic.weebly.com.
And that's it for the Mini Minxes show 2. That's us finished our second show, Kim.
Yay! round of applause for us and me and Laura.
Now, we may have finished the second show a week early because I made a mistake in the last podcast. So all those who've been crying thinking they've got another week to wait before they hear our lovely voices again will get a surprise when we're out a week early.
You made a mistake in the last podcast.
I did.
Is it so terrible that I didn't even notice?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I said our next show would be out on the 27th, but our next show is going to be out on the 20th.
Oh, Laura.
So it's a good mistake. Everyone will be pleased with the mistake, I hope.
I hope so. I hope they haven't booked their holidays around release date of our podcast.
So we're out a week early, and that means our show 3 is also out a week early.
Yay! When is our next show out, Laura?
It's out the 5th of March. Would you like to just double-check that in the calendar?
I'll just double-check that on our calendar right as we speak.
Mini Minx is special, mini calendar.
Yep, Mini says 5th of March is correct.
So it's the 5th of March.
I suppose I better announce the competition winner now, aren't I?
You had, because I've been waiting the whole show to find out if it's me.
Even if you didn't, Laura, you wouldn't have been eligible to win.
I'm not sure if we specified the rules exactly.
Well, I think if you'd have won, there'd have been a bit of crying of cheating going on. Don't you think?
Has Malcolm won then?
No. I disallowed Malcolm's entry as well. Because that's just cheating. The question was, what food item did AJ Wolf want to bring back to Disney Hollywood Studios?
It was.
And the answer was some sort of deep fried cheese.
Kimmy!
What?
Burson cheese.
What cheese?
Burson cheese.
Burson!
Think fancy Burson cheese.
What cheese, Laura?
I can't say it, sorry.
Come on, Laura, you're supposed to be the professional out of the two of us. Right.
Burson cheese.
Burson cheese. You've got the giggles, haven't you, Laura?
Yeah.
Oh. What our listeners probably don't know is I've had to sit here and listen for the last 10 minutes there saying Burson cheese because she can't say it without laughing. It's not funny, Laura. Right.
Who did win then? The lovely voucher.
The winner of a £10 Disney Store gift card is, drumroll. You were a bit slow off the mark there, Laura. Let's try that again. Drumroll. The lovely Stephen Maxwell. So Stephen, if you want to send your address details to contact@theminiminxes.co.uk, and I'll get that card arranged to get sent to you.
And if you're not keen on giving Kimmy your address...
What are you trying to say?
In case she hand-delivers it.
Oh. He'd love a little Kimmy coming to his door to give him a gift card. Won't you, Stephen? Oh, no, he can't answer me, can he? I'm sure he's nodding his head.
So, yeah, Stephen Maxwell won the £10 gift card. But we've got a little surprise, don't we, Kim? Because there's another £10 gift card.
Yay!
Yay!
The lovely people at Team Disney Podcast are sponsoring this show as well and sponsoring this competition.
Thank you, Team Disney Podcast.
Thank you very much, Team Disney Podcast. You've been very nice to us, Mini Minxes. So, the question this week is, hopefully you've been listening, in the film The Muppets, the new film that's just come out, which I did a fantastic review on, which celebrity got kidnapped to join the telephone?
I don't know if I remember that.
Well, you best
You
best go back and listen then, aren't you, Laura?
Yep.
Oh, you're rubbish.
Now, if you've got any lovely comments or questions, and I do stress the word lovely comments or questions, then you can email us to also lovely Mini Minxes at our email address, contact@theminiminxes.co.uk.
Or you can drop us a message and tweet us on our Twitter account, @TheMiniMinxes.
Yeah, because we do love a bit of twitting and tweeting and...
Oh, I like my tweets.
So yes, we like to, what we're saying is, we like to talk to all you lovely listeners.
Yes.
Please do get in touch. We're on Facebook as well. We're on Facebook at www.facebook.com/theminiminxes.
So friend us up on there.
Yep, that's special because you can add us as a friend. We will be your friend.
We will be your friend indeed. You can follow me on Twitter if you all want, because I ain't got that many followers. I think I've only got about 600 and something.
Oh.
I'm at Kimmy_Disney.
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter and add to my many thousands of followers.
You don't need any more, you.
At Pearson Laura UK.
We've also got a lovely website that you can go have a look at, which is www.theminiminxes.co.uk. I say you can go have a look at it because, Laura, there ain't all on it.
There is.
Is there?
There is. All the links work lovely. There's pictures of us on it.
Have you put pictures of us on it?
Yes, there's a stream of our Twitter feed.
It's not right. Oh, useful on there, though, is there?
No. It looks nice. It's red.
It does look very pretty. I'll give Laura that, people. It does look rather pretty. But if any of you have got anything that you think we can put on there or any suggestions, then obviously give us a shout and I'll get Laura to do it. So I suppose that's a wrap for this week, Laura.
Yep, it is. We'll see everyone again for show 3 if they'd love to come back and listen to us again.
Yep. See you all on the 5th of March. Bye.
Bye.
I'm the guy they call Little Mickey Mouse. Got a sweetie down in the chicken house. Neither fat nor skinny, she's the horse's Winnie is my little Minnie Mouse. When it's feeding time for the animals and they howl and growl like the cannibals, I just turn my heel to the hen house steel and you'll hear me sing this song. Oh, the old tomcat with his meow meow, old hound dog with his bow wow wow, the crow and the mule. Gosh, what a ragged like an all of us all. I have listened to the cuckoo his and I've heard the roosters cock a doodle doo. With the cows and the chickens, they all sound like the dickens when I hear my little Minnie.
There's no business like bold business.